Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on Member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good frozen afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 7th day of February, and a cold day in Hades, Anno Domini 2026, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you heard the news?
Well, before we even get to that, I don't want any of our listeners ever to say that we're not dedicated to this show because of what the three of us just had to drive through, and especially Steve, all the way from the southern tier up here to do a show.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, if that's not dedication, folks, I don't know what is.
And if Jerry calls from Iceland and says it's above freezing,
yeah,
I'm going over there and speaking to him.
I think we all should.
Just so we understand each other, Jerry. All right. Here comes the news. Face it, it's an AI world and we're just living in it. Unless, that is, you use Firefox. Unlike many of the companies stuffing AI into their browsers, including Mozilla, Mozilla will soon give you a way to turn all of these features off. An update coming on February 24th will add a new AI control option to Firefox's settings menu, allowing you to disable or enable the browser's individual AI features, including access to a built-in AI chatbot, translations, AI tab group suggestions, and more. Over the past year, Firefox went all in on AI, just like Chrome, Edge, Brave, and just about every other browser on the market. You can barely type without AI popping up, insisting that you need its help. Heck, Firefox even rolled out a Shake to Summarize feature on iPhones that iPhone users can use to get AI-powered summaries of what they're reading online. Firefox is working on an AI window as well, an opt-in browser experience that uses an AI assistant and chatbot to help users search the web. Mozilla CEO Anthony Enzor DeMeo said in an interview last year that he believes there's space for another AI browser from a technology company that people can trust. Quote, unquote. End quote, excuse me. In a move absolutely everyone saw coming, many users are, let's say, unhappy with all of this AI being stuffed into Firefox. So in December, Enzor DeMeo promised an AI kill switch in response to users unhappy with Firefox's embrace of AI. Choice matters, and demonstrating our commitment to choice is how we build and maintain trust, Enzor DeMeo said. The switch is on the way now, and it includes an option to disable all current and upcoming AI features. You can also manage whether Firefox uses AI to generate alt text for images and PDFs or to generate key points and link previews. This all makes sense. AI is changing how we do everything, including browse the web. And sometimes that changes for the better, like generating alt text for images for the visually impaired. But not everyone wants or needs AI in everything they do. So Firefox is going to give you a way to turn it all off. You get to be in charge of your own browsing experience. What a concept!
Really?
It should start rolling out toward the end of February. So get ready for a Firefox update. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Firefox's AI off switch. And your choices are, it's about stinking time. I'm happy about it. Meh. No, not my beloved AI. This could get me to switch browsers. And a what now? So far, we have 31 votes. And it's about stinking time is well in the lead. Well in the lead. So you can vote in the poll. It's awfully easy. You just head on over to soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And then if you have more to say on this or dang near any topic under the sun, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415. And let's face it, you're not out doing anything today.
Yeah.
Unless you're shoveling.
Unless you're shoveling.
That's like spitting in the wind right now with all that wind.
Yeah. Now, wasn't Firefox the one that said a couple of weeks ago we're never going to put AI in our browser?
Yeah, they lied. They've had AI in there for a while, but they're going to make it. They're going to make it not mandatory.
Well,
your choice.
I got to admit, though, I do like the AI. I use it in DuckDuckGo. Two things. One, I don't get advertisements just because I'm doing a search. Like, I had AI do this list. I asked it to please compile this list of this particular item with these features. And boom, it went off and all of a sudden came back. And so now I can do my research on those items. And then, because I used DuckDuckGo, I didn't get all the GD ads for each one of those items and being constantly inundated, which I would have been by Chrome or in the other browsers.
I did much the same. I used Brave, but I did much the same when I was looking for my car. I went out and said, these are the features I must have. These are the features I'd like to have.
Mm-hmm.
These are the features I'd really love to have, but I know I'm not going to be able to afford. So, you know, what can I get? And it brought me back a list. And the car I did buy was on that list. The model.
Yep.
And so I went and looked at those particular cars, and I sat in this one, and I thought, yeah, this is the one. So I was and I have not seen any ads for cars. Because I used Brave, and it didn't track me, and it didn't allow me to see any ads.
Because the AIs haven't injected many ads yet.
Well, no, this is, if you search for something, you start seeing ads thing.
Mm-hmm.
So and it didn't do that either, so I was very pleased with that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I made the mistake, because I was in a rush, and I did a search on some coax. In Chrome.
Oh, yeah, no.
Now I'm getting umpteen companies. Oh, well, we got this special going on. We got this going on. I don't care.
Learned this.
Who uses coax anymore?
I do.
Radio guys.
crazy radio guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still looking for tubes. They don't have tube radios.
We do.
I know that.
Yeah. Amplifiers have the big tubes in. As a matter of fact, the old Kenwoods and that.
The real audiophiles want tube radio, amplifiers. Too.
Yeah, they.
I was watching an older match game with Alec Baldwin because the new match game with Martin Short tanked after the first episode.
Really? Yeah. Oh man, that's too bad.
And they brought out a guy to rip a phone book in half, and it was a joke about what noises he was making while he was ripping. And one of the contestants said, "Where did you find a phone book?" Because it wasn't that old.
Yeah, right. I tell you, the reality is, we say, I was talking about this, and my smart speaker heard me, and now I'm seeing ads on it. I don't know that that's true, but I also don't know that that's false.
It's from some of the reports I've read, it's more insidious than that.
Yeah.
So, your friend had a phone and was searching for something. You were talking to them, so your phone knows it's in proximity to that phone.
Yes.
So, hey, maybe the stuff that he likes, you like, because you're talking together. You were together for 25 minutes. So now let's give you ads on that same thing.
I have learned to use Brave to do searches for birthday and Christmas presents for my wife and daughter.
Yep.
Because when I used Chrome to do that, I started getting ads for, things I don't wear, let's just say.
It's always Amazon ads, and I bought the thing from Amazon. You should know that and stop advertising it to
me. We found something you might like. I liked it enough that I bought it, so shut up.
Especially if it's a lower price.
Right. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Fred. What's up?
Hey, just wanted to call in and I guess thank you guys for showing up today.
Thank you. We are dumb. We are stupid people. I admit this.
It kind of bespeaks to your sensibilities. You got to be crazy to go out in this weather. So,
well, ain't that the truth?
We all have appointments on Monday.
Yeah.
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 doctor's appointments, yes.
Had examined.
I have a question. We talked about this, the browsers, and you had recommended Brave, and I've been using it, and it's been good. I've got it all set up. It was only one website that just didn't want to load properly. It had the website had a window or a pane in the middle of the entire window that was trying to load some information, and I guess it wasn't fast enough, and it would cause the whole window to refresh.
Interesting.
It just kept doing this every few seconds, refresh, refresh, refresh. I tried it in a couple other browsers, and after trying a bunch of other stuff, I tried to look at other browsers, and I didn't manage to open that same website just fine. So I don't know if there's a setting in Brave, or are you I want to say updating, changing your recommendation from Brave to.
No, I still like Brave a lot. What it sounds to me like was there was something that it was loading that Brave blocks, and it was probably an ad or more likely a tracker of some sort.
And a lot of websites don't like that.
Right.
Usually you get a message that you're running an ad blocker, please turn it off.
No, it wasn't an ad. It was a list of information that was pertinent to my account.
Right, but so a couple of things. It could have been coming from a third party, but a separate server. And Brave sometimes thinks those are spam or an attack and block them. It could also be that there was a tracker on that particular inner window, and Brave blocks those. So, you know, the reality is that it's that game of leapfrog, right? Brave tries to keep you safe by blocking things like trackers and spam. And companies want you to get those trackers and spam, so they make it hard to run a browser that blocks those.
Is there a way to whitelist that website?
I believe Brave does have a whitelist.
Okay.
I think if you go into there's a lion icon next to the URL bar, and you can and you can click on that, and you can toggle the global settings off for that site.
You can see what all things are being blocked too,
right?
And maybe turn the smaller one off before you turn your shields off completely,
right? And there's a couple of other ways to do it with cookies and ad blocker and the ad blocker that's built into Brave and stuff like that. But if you just want to turn it off for one site, the easiest way to do that is to use the what they call the Brave Shields, which is that little lion icon.
Uh-huh.
And then if you click on that, you can toggle the settings off.
All right, shields up, but when I shut that off, it's still doing the same thing.
No, it's not shields off. The little lion icon.
Yep. Clicked on that.
Yeah.
And the drop down comes, trackers, how many things were tracked, shields are up, and I can toggle a switch to turn that off. And then it says, shields are down for this site. Report the site. The site wasn't working properly and shields up. No, it doesn't make any difference whether it's on or off.
Well, in that case, above that, it should tell you how many trackers, ads, and whatever were blocked.
Yeah, it says zero.
Oh, interesting.
I like going to a newspaper website and I had 56 trackers show up.
Right. So if you go to advanced controls, which is at the bottom of that drop down,
Okay.
You should be able to see if, for example, you're blocking fingerprinting.
If I shut that off, it still does the same thing.
All right, then it's doing something else entirely. It might be, I don't know what to tell you.
It's a financial site, and it says upcoming schedule. And if I look at that in a different browser, it does take a second or two for that to populate. Which means, I don't know what that means actually, but
Sometimes there are just some websites that don't work in a particular browser, even though Brave is Chromium based. It might work better in Google,
or
probably Internet Explorer.
Yeah, right. What it sounds like to me is that inner frame is coming from a different website. It could be a website in that same domain, that same company's stuff, but it's a different page. And Brave is looking at it and saying, no, this has got to be spam. And blocking it. So it's being overly cautious, and I don't honestly know how to turn that off.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just have to play around with it.
Yeah, there's no harm in having multiple browsers loaded. Just try another one if that one doesn't work.
Yeah.
I was trying to simplify my life by having just one that does everything. I've got all the bookmarks in the Brave browser finally set up the way that I want them to be, and then this one happened to come up, and I go, now what do I do?
Yeah, no, that's I'm sorry, but yes, I think the problem is that there's something that Brave thinks is shady, and again, it might not in fact be shady, but Brave thinks something shady is going on and is blocking it to keep you safe.
And I have seen that it's often banks and financial websites that happens in.
Right.
They code for the biggest name browsers, and sometimes not even Safari. I have to go to Chrome to use it. But even though Brave is Chromium-based, it's not Chrome, so something that website is doing is different.
And Firefox?
Might be the same. I don't know if it would also block. It would be blocked in Firefox. Likely not. Firefox
opening up in Firefox. It takes about 3 to 5 seconds for that pane of that website. Everything else is there, but I get the three dots that you remember the old hourglass type.
Yep.
But it's a three dots going across horizontally.
Yeah, that definitely tells me it's coming from another site. And being pulled into this site.
It takes a little bit, and it says the upcoming schedule, and it's a schedule of deposits and fees and whatever that
regularly occurs. That's clearly coming from another server, and Brave is blocking that because it doesn't know what that other server is.
It just takes too long. In Brave, it seems like it takes too long, and so it blanks out.
So it gives up.
Times out.
Yeah.
And Firefox, it takes a longer than normal blink that you were used to. But in 3 to 5 seconds, it comes up. So I guess I just use Brave for that one website.
Right. Or use something other than Brave for that one website.
Yeah. I mean, using Firefox for that one website.
Right.
I thought maybe you had a update to your referrals as far as Firefox being more favored than others.
No. I like Firefox. Don't get me wrong. I use it for some things. I use Chrome for a lot of stuff. I use Brave for a lot of stuff. And so far, Brave has not been a problem for me. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I've probably got 50 or 60 things tabbed, and that's the only one that I ever had a problem with opening up. So it's...
Congratulations, you found that one page.
Yeah, you found the one page.
I could be their beta tester. Oh, wait, I already am.
Yeah, there you go.
That's an idea. I'm sure Brave has a submit bugs process somehow.
Yeah,
you could send them that website and see what they say.
See what we get. At any rate, I did want to thank you guys for coming in. And, you know, it proves the three of you. All three of you showed up.
Yep.
On a day that most sane people would not. I thought for sure it was going to be a repeat broadcast. I thought for sure.
We both but, I haven't asked Steve yet, but both Dave and I thought on the way here, why mm-hmm. didn't we do that?
And I didn't get any messages, so.
Yeah, same here.
Although you guys keep messaging Shirley instead of me, or somebody does. Somebody has Shirley's number for me. Must be Rob.
We like Shirley.
Why would we want to talk to you?
Yeah.
Right. All right, thanks, Fred.
You take care now.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it does sound to me like that inner pain is coming from another site, another server, and Brave doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, when that happens on a website, it means there's spam coming in. Somebody's broken in somewhere. Yeah. And unless he whitelists that
uncertain,
inner site,
so I'd rather take a more aggressive approach and blocking it than to have something compromised.
Right.
And which is better.
Right. And if he can find out what that inner site is, then he could whitelist that site and the problem would go away. But
sometimes you can right click on that frame and say open a new tab.
Right, and then you see where it goes.
And you see what the address is, yeah.
Maybe
that's an idea.
Maybe it's the other end. All day Wednesday, I'm fighting with the FedEx website trying to print a label. Because we had a computer to ship out. And I hit print, and it says, printed successfully. And I said, no, it didn't. It didn't even ask. So I tried 3 or 4 times, didn't work. Tried a different computer, didn't work. All right, we'll try later in the day, didn't work. Try the next day, can't reprint the same label from yesterday.
Nice.
So I made a new label, and it worked fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend now to save everything. I just save it as a PDF and print that. The hell with everybody.
I do too, but it didn't even get that far.
Oh, just whatever you did, it just said we're done.
Yep.
Nice. Okay. That's apparently you were done.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, that was a little glitch. I looked at my battery and see what's left. It originally, when I opened the thing up, it said about 75. And then when we were talking to Fred, I looked at it again. It said 100, and it's not plugged in. And now it says 68, so I believe that more. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is our friend Al from Rochester, New York. What's up, Al?
Good morning, guys. Good to hear your voices.
Good to hear you. What's up?
Hey, sort of a shameless plug and then a business comment back to something you'd said a while ago about buying USB flash drives in bulk. I just want to mention to people, I've recently bought a bunch of different USB drives, some from name brands like SanDisk, which I tend to trust, and some are just sort of who knows who made them.
Right.
But one thing I always do with them is I immediately go through and reformat them, basically, just because I want to know what's going on, and then I'll do a properties on them and see what I see. I got a little bit of a surprise with the last batch of no-name stuff from across the sea, and that it had allocated 4 gigabytes out of 32 to some unknown file that didn't immediately go away when I reformatted.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it made me suspicious / worried, and I ran a scan disk on it and virus check, et cetera, and nothing came up. And I eventually got it cleared up. But I guess my general advice to anybody who's buying flash drives, especially from unknown sources or far shores, to run them through the ringer a little bit before you commit to using them and trusting them on your system.
That's a very good point.
GRC has a free utility called ValiDrive that he wrote because he bought a bunch of flash drives said they were 32 gigs, and it turns out there's a 4-gig card with custom firmware claiming to be 32 gigs, and it just stops saving data, but says it saved it okay.
Yep, I hear you. Yep. 30 gig and read speed is another one.
Yep.
So I hear the music, so... Hey, quick, can I hold on for a sec?
Yeah. Stay on the line. We'll get back to you when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Al from Rochester, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites. And we are stupidly here in the studio. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we still have Al from Rochester, New York on the line. Is it still there, Al?
I surely am. Thank you.
Excellent. What's up?
So, Steve mentioned GRC's utility called Value Drive, which is excellent and free. Another one is Read Speed, if you just want to check to see if the performance of your flash drives is really up to what you expected to get from what you paid for it. But I also want to mention just a not free utility, but it's called, well, they have a free version, but it's called Aomi Partition Assistant. And for anybody who wants to dig a little deeper into their drives and their partitions for hard drives also, it's a marvelous utility. It's has a lot of power, but it's also very careful to warn you when you're about to jump into the deep end. So
that's good. That's something we have to warn people about. Using this stuff is great. Be very aware that you can, if you want to, shoot yourself in the foot.
Yes, very effectively. But they're nice, and they ask you at least twice and say, you want to do this? And then they come back and say, are you sure? So it works out well. But I would also mention something interesting about it. It's the fact that it's a $50 utility on a yearly basis, but for $60, you can have a lifetime ownership. So I'm not sure why anyone would not just go right for the $60 option, because I've gone through... I paid for it about 5 years ago, and I've gone through endless updates and revisions.
Right now they've got a sale on, so the normal license, the $50 license is two PCs. They have a family lifetime license for $90 for five PCs.
Yep. It's again, if anyone goes back in time and they're familiar with the Partition Magician from way back, it's almost like a spin-off of this.
So I always used Partition Magic before Norton bought him and killed it.
Yeah.
So that's about it. I just wanted to say to people, if you're buying cheap flash drives especially, it doesn't hurt to put them through the ringer a little bit and make sure you got what you thought you got. In fact, I'm looking at a 64-gig flash drive right now that I can format to 4-gig, and that's about all it'll take.
Interesting.
Mildly. So, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes cheap is too cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. Too cheap is expensive.
Yep.
Costs you more in the long run.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Keep your snow shovel sharp, and we'll talk to you in the future.
Yep. Have fun. Stay indoors. Stay warm. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have to go out on this again later, you know.
Yeah. Why?
To get home. I'm not staying here.
Oh.
All right.
Forget about that.
Yeah. Well, you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 800-790-0415. I will read the Microsoft news. Ukraine's Computer Emergency Response Team, or CERT-UA, says that Russian hackers are exploiting a recently patched vulnerability in multiple versions of Microsoft Office. On January 26, Microsoft released an emergency out-of-band security update marked CVE-2026-21509 as an actively exploited zero-day flaw. CERT-UA detected the distribution of malicious doc files exploiting the flaw just 3 days after Microsoft's alert. Opening the malicious document triggers a web dev-based download chain that installs malware via hijacking, a malicious DLL, shellcode hidden in an image file, and a scheduled task. So make sure your patches are up to date. Speaking of hacks, infrastructure delivering updates for Notepad++, a widely used text editor for Windows, was compromised for 6 months by suspected China state hackers who used their control to deliver backdoored versions of the app to select targets. A post published to the official notepad++.org website on Monday said the attack began last June. The attackers used their access to install a never-before-seen payload that has been dubbed Chrysalis. Security firm Rapid7 described it as a custom feature-rich backdoor. The author deeply apologized to all users affected by this hijacking. So that's all right then. Microsoft has fixed a known issue that was causing the password sign-in option to disappear from the lock screen option after installing Windows 11 updates released since August of 2025.
You want to sign in? No.
No. You could still sign in. You just couldn't see where to sign in. The password icon appears on the lock screen only if multiple sign-in options, for example, PIN, password, security, key, fingerprint, are available. However, if you use only a password, the icon may not appear because Windows 11 shows the password field by default. Despite this, affected users can still sign in with their password, just as hovering over the place where the icon should appear reveals the hidden button. It's nice that they fixed a flaw they've known about for 6 months. That's lightning fast for them. Microsoft announced today that the Exchange Web Services, or EWS, API for Exchange Online will be shut down in April of 2027 after nearly 20 years. Now, that news may not sound like anything you need to worry about, but it could be. EWS is a cross-platform API for developing apps that can access Exchange mailbox items, such as email messages, meetings, and contacts, retrieved from various sources, including Exchange Online and on-premises editions of Exchange. That means if you use an app, either commercial or built in-house at your place of work, that uses the API to manage people's Exchange environment and make integration easier, that app will cleverly stop working. So start finding alternate ways to do things now.
Of course, Microsoft would like you to purchase the subscription to Online Exchange.
Exactly. Microsoft is moving forward with a long-planned cleanup of the Windows 11 printing stack, starting with the non-security update released in January of 2026, which means Windows 10 didn't get it. Windows 11 no longer supports legacy V3 and V4 printer drivers, a change that will affect devices running versions 24H2 and 25H2 as the rollout gradually expands. Printers that rely exclusively on V3 or V4 drivers may fail to install or stop working altogether. Any newer printers you have should work just fine, but if you have any older or specialty printers, they could well stop working unless the printer manufacturer has a driver update. But we haven't stopped working even in this stinking weather. So give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415. I don't know about your customers, but if you've got people using older printers... On Windows machines, particularly, you know, the specialty companies that you deal with.
Yep.
Right? So, you may find that they are unable to print.
I select the one sign company we work with where their giant plotter booted from a floppy on a PC to run DOS so it could load Apple Talk so very old Macs could print to it. Because Apple stopped supporting Apple Talk like 10 years ago.
Right.
Actually, that's a big thing now. People on their Macs might be getting warning messages about their time capsule, which issues SMB version 1, which has been deprecated.
Yeah.
Starting with macOS 27, you will not be able to use your time capsule as a backup drive because they're removing the deprecated SMB version 1. So we've started selling a lot of network drives.
Yes.
NAS drives now. So the time capsule was such a great little machine. It was a router. It was a switch. It was a Wi-Fi access point. It was a print server all in one little box. It was great. But Apple didn't know. When the whole shift to mesh Wi-Fi came out, Apple basically stopped making the routers because there's so many other companies doing it. In the very beginning, it was Apple and Lucent.
Right.
To selling a $300 box to give you Wi-Fi, what, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
And, of course, there's no way to attach your time machine hard drive to the network.
No, because the Because it's all the time capsule. Well, you can take it out.
Time capsule.
Yeah, you can take it out and put it in a different NAS if you want.
Right.
But that's a pain.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But at least that way it might be.
Or just nobody upgrade to 27.
Well, there's that.
Well, yeah. And the other rumor that has a lot of credence to it is that OS 27 will require Apple Silicon. So 26 is the last OS to support Intel Macs.
Time for Linux.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is our first caller, Fred, back from Rochester again. What's up, Fred?
Hey, I found it.
Oh, good.
Didn't know it was lost, right? In the settings under that shield icon, I'm presuming that those settings are for that particular site. And if I block all cookies, the site goes completely blank. If I allow all cookies, it works perfectly fine.
Yep.
If I block third-party cookies, that one pane, that one section, whatever you call it, will not work.
There you go.
So I looked at other sites after that, and it seems to go back to that block third-party default. So I'm not, by making that selection, I'm not affecting all sites, just that one.
Right.
Which is okay. It's a financial institution. I'm not worried about that.
Right.
But that was the ticket to fixing that. It just didn't, but it never came up with any messages or any warnings or anything. It just acted weird.
Yeah, and that tells me that it is indeed coming from another server somewhere.
Yeah, third party.
Right.
Because it's third-party cookies.
Right.
I bought a new keyboard, a Logi MX mechanical keyboard. It does not seem to have the function of a print screen.
Print screen key never printed the screen. It just copied it to the clipboard.
Well, yeah, that either way. But it doesn't. Print screen would give me a clip, which the... What's the clippy thing that the Windows people use?
Right.
But it would allow me to copy what's on the screen, and then I could send it to somebody and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing. But I don't see that on this keyboard, and I tried to search for the options, and you can map the keyboard, but they don't have an option for Linux machines.
On a Linux machine. Generally speaking, on Logitech keyboards, function F7 or function F8 usually is your screenshot key.
Yeah.
And sometimes it might be like 14 or 15 or 16 that isn't labeled print screen.
Well, it's got the print screen icon, and I do a function in F7. It's on the F7 key, but it does nothing.
Okay, then what you need to do is you need to go into your keyboard and create a keyboard shortcut.
I'm also saying Alt print screen may work.
The Alt F7.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But what you can do is, I forget, which one are you using?
Ubuntu.
Ubuntu. You should be able to go into the keyboard setting, under settings, keyboard, and go into application shortcuts and add a shortcut for the screenshot. There should actually be one, shouldn't there? Yeah, there's a screen shooter that's probably set to print or alt print. And you should be able to either just use that, or reset it to a different thing.
Okay. What I found is there's a Logitech application that allows. I know I've used it on the mice, but they don't have an option for a Logitech. Keyboard mapping application
right.
for Linux.
And that's because Linux has its own. So if you go into Settings, Keyboard.
Keyboard.
Under Application Shortcuts, if you scroll down, you should see something set up for either Print or Alt Print that is the Screen Shooter, I think it's called. And you can either just use that key, whatever key it is, or you can reset that to be Alt F7 or whatever you want it to be.
Okay. Oh, here's a screenshot. Okay. I'll have to work at that because it's got a little bit different layout than what we can talk about right now. But, yeah, that puts me in the right direction.
There you go.
Beautiful. Take care now.
Yep. Have fun.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you can pretty much do everything in Linux. It just happens differently.
Yeah,
And that's understandable. It's a whole and you know, again, what we come up against is that most products are made to work with Windows, and they have Windows drivers and et cetera, et cetera. So, when they're writing a different driver, when the Linux people are writing a driver for that product, they often don't bother adding features that are available another way. Bless you. So, like in this instance, in the keyboard shortcuts, you can create one to take a screenshot. Well, I don't have to add that to my driver because it's already in the system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do it twice. So that makes sense to me, but that's how that works.
You know, when you mentioned keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah.
First thing that comes to my mind.
I know exactly what you're about to say.
Esther Vail.
Yep. Yep. She had, what, about 7 zillion of them and kept them all in her head?
She had, well, she also had lists alongside her keyboard to keep track of some of them that she made up because she had so many. But yeah, like you said, she was the queen of doing keyboard shortcuts.
Esther was the producer of Soundbites when we first started.
Yeah.
And that meant she sat in a different room. She's the person who answered the phone when people called. And she also, you know, kept track of everything we did and started the music and stopped. And she did all that stuff, all the things that Dave is forced to do now. And she had created a series of shortcuts on her computer system in there that instead of having to type this, go to the mouse and do this. She just go, you know, Control 7 or whatever.
Do a macro, yeah. And she would hit us up each week, you know, hey, I want to do this. And she'd ask our opinion and that before the show. She'd go, oh, thank you. And she'd be sitting there writing her little notes and that. And miss that lady.
Oh, Esther, what a terrific lady. What a terrific lady.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the halcyon days. Those were the days when it was MS-DOS and IBM PCs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Our slogan back then was, what's that big red button on the side do?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And then when mice came in, is this a foot pedal? What is this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were the days. It was actually easier back then.
And the SCSI Voodoo?
Oh, yeah. Trying to explain to somebody having to terminate a SCSI cable, and depending on which cable you had and which terminator you had and which section of the cable you plugged something into and where you had to put the...
Well, the same with hard drives.
It is easier now.
Well, even with hard drives. I mean, now you can just go ahead and pop in another hard drive.
Boom,
and
it's done.
Knows that it's a second drive. Back in the day with RRL drives and MFMs, you had to move a jumper. And it was either the master or the slave.
Right.
And, you know.
And if you got it wrong, and then not only was it master and slave, but on some PCs, you had to plug the master into one particular part of the cable and the slave into a different particular part of the cable.
Yep.
If you got those backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Esther passed in 1996.
Oh, man.
That's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
30 years?
Yeah, 30 years ago. 6 years after we started this show. Yeah. Those were the days.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the days, my friend.
She was a lieutenant junior grade in the Navy.
Yeah, she was.
According to her headstone here, I just pulled up. I don't, well, 30 years ago, I don't remember if we ever knew that.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think we did.
We might not have. She certainly had the discipline for it.
Yeah.
Oh, she was, heck yeah.
She was pretty terrific. We've had some great people who were our producers. John was, I can't think of his last name.
Yeah, I see it, John, every Landis. So often Landis? At the restaurant.
Was it Landis?
No.
No?
No.
John Landis is a director.
That's a director, yeah.
Yeah. No,
John, I'm sorry, I can't think of your last name all of a sudden. We're old. We're old. And then we had that young puppy over at the other station. Whatever happened to him? That
he became our boss. They took away his stool.
Pain in the ass.
Took away his step stool, so he didn't have to be behind the board anymore.
No, that was, what was her name? The
bandana.
The hair ribbon. Yeah. Yeah. We could see Rob. He's a tall drink of water. Yeah. But those were the days. Those of you who have followed us for a long time have been through a whole lot of producers and a whole lot of hosts and a whole lot of nonsense over the years.
So we've changing our schedule around and
moving from day, station to station.
The day it was on used to be on Sunday.
We used to be on Sundays.
If the preacher talked too long, I'd miss the first part of the show.
Yep.
My favorite part, though, was always when we were over at our very first place. How late he was going to be, whether he was going to make it before what's his name? Finish the news or not?
Bob Smith.
Yep. The great.
Oh, yeah.
The great Bob Smith. Yeah, if Steve made it in time to say, and I'm Steve Ray, he was on time.
Yeah.
Of course, then he wasn't setting up 50 things to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still had to work on Saturday.
Right. Right. I remember back in the day going to Saturday Night Mass so that I wouldn't be late for the show on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm Catholic, so it was mostly speed masses.
Yeah.
You know, 40 minutes in and out. Yeah. If it's longer than that, that's a problem.
Yeah, so I got blessed by an almost priest a few seconds ago. Does that count for anything?
Yes. It counts for anything you want it to count for. That's fine. That's right. I spent time in the seminary. I was in fact going to be a priest.
Like every good Catholic boy's mother wants him to be, right?
Everyone. Of course, I'm an only child, so my mother had a problem.
Yes.
You know, having me be a priest is a really good thing, but that meant no grandchildren. Right. So that was a problem. She was pretty happy and sad when I left the seminary. Well, let me be honest. I got thrown out. Bad attitude.
I got kicked out of catechism classes. The end of my junior year, because my parents always made us go to religious ed. And at the end of my junior year there, because we get out of school early and go to, and then I got in too much trouble because I kept criticizing the priest and questioning their, you know, why they did this and why they did that. And you're not supposed to do that. Well, I'm sorry, I got questions.
That was me. Why is this? Why is that? Why is the other thing? And they eventually, the priest, it's the first time I ever heard a priest swear. He took me and he said, your religious thing, great, your education, great, but you have this G.D. Wild streak in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And that, of course, then immediately afterwards, Vatican II changed everything I'd been asking about. Got rid of everything I didn't like.
Yep.
I was just ahead of my time.
Yep.
Same here.
And, you know, and the priest did say, you know, as soon as that wild streak, that GD wild streak was out of me, I could come back anytime and go back to the seminary. Apparently, it isn't gone yet.
Mm.
Apparently. So,
yeah. It is what it is.
And I could be a priest today. Marriage is not a barrier to the priesthood. The priesthood is a barrier to marriage. You say, if you're a priest, you can't get married. But if you're already married, you could be a priest.
Yeah. Loopholes.
Loopholes. All right. That music tells us the first hour of this show. Well, at least that's the way it used to be. I haven't really paid a lot of attention to the rules in a long time. But that first hour of this show is in the books, but there's a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way. A whole nother hour of Dave Enright, a whole nother hour of Steve Ray, a whole nother hour of me, Nick Francesco, and a whole nother hour of you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Face it, you're not doing anything else today. You're just in the house. Nobody in their right mind is going out, so give us a call, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes with the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve, next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 4 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And we have Jerry from Ireland on the line. Jerry, were you in Iceland the last time you called?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Are you hitchhiking back to America? Is that what this is?
The long way?
Well, I was considering the dog sled route over the North
Cool.
There were some international difficulties that made that.
You're a little late for the Iditarod.
Yes, indeed it is. And besides, that's on the other side of the globe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
So what's up, my friend?
It is a scalding 291 degrees Kelvin here in Ireland. And I'll have you know, I did some gymnastics to get that number for Nick.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jerry. It means nothing to me, so I'm happy now. I can pretend that's like minus 4 degrees Fahrenheit or...
Okay. Well,
as they
above the temperature from when ice melts.
Yeah. As the Europeans who insist... Apparently, that their measurements make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what did we say last time? 4 gills and a furlong, I believe, is what that
chains.
That's
it. Could be a chain.
Yeah,
special subcategory.
Exactly. All right, what's up, my friend?
Well, I'm helping a friend here who has a brand new M4 Mac Mini, and he's all pleased with it. He's got it all set up and running, and got himself a magic keyboard and a magic mouse that he acquired at jumble sales and things like that, but they all come with the previous owner's name when he gets them hooked up to the Bluetooth on there. And we can't figure out how to change the name on the Bluetooth devices like the keyboard and the mouse in the latest Apple operating system. So maybe this falls into Ray's category.
Yeah, in system settings under Bluetooth, click the little I next to the Bluetooth device, I for information, and you can retype the name. It has to be connected to the computer at the time.
By Bluetooth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bluetooth setting.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I can't connect the name or change the name. I'm on OS 26 now. I've upgraded to 26. And,
everything's different. Everything's do you know different. Which OS they're on?
Well, it probably would have come with 26.
26.2. 2.1, whatever the latest is.
All right, well, I can't change the name of my AirPods because they're not connected. Maybe it works if it is connected. Let's do a quick Google search. But, yeah, that's the first place to go.
Yeah, that's what it says here. Click the I, select the name, and enter a new name. Or you can right-click on the device, or control-click, I guess. I don't know.
If you have right-click turned on somewhere, yeah.
Right, or control-click and select rename. So get the list of devices and right-click or control-click the device and select rename. That will also do it.
Okay, I will give that a try. I'm not at the device right now, but I'm in a position where I can meander over later on this afternoon and help them with that. Thank you.
I was going to say, what is it, evening there right now?
Yeah, it's evening. We're 6 hours ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
So right. That's sooner. Actually, what's really curious is that because it's further north in latitude, the days are shorter. Surprisingly so.
Oh, right, right.
Than what we get in Rochester.
Hmm.
If you look at one of those funny maps that have the Mercator projection of the world, and it shows you where the dawn and the dusk lines are.
Yeah, the gray line.
Yeah, the gray lines curve very steeply above 60 north.
Yep.
And it has a big effect on the length of day.
Yep.
Interesting. Hmm. All right, give those things a try, Jerry, and let us know.
All righty, I will do that. Interesting factoid.
Yeah.
I'm here on a special mission to investigate the type of spirits that they like to invoke here in Ireland. And one of the things they do here in Clonakilty is they actually use clay as the basis for distillation.
Clay?
Clay. W-H-E-Y.
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
The white, it's the white protein fluid that's left over after you extract all the stuff you want for cheese making and whatnot.
Right. Oh. And they distill it and turn it into a spirit.
And they distill that, and they turn it into pleasure-imbibing spirits.
Very nice.
So a question for you. How much longer are you in Ireland?
Only another couple of days.
And then where do you head then?
I'm heading back to North America.
Whoa.
I'm hoping that by the time you get here, you bring some decent weather with you. This is on you, Jerry. This is entirely on you.
I will try. Believe me, this was planned well in advance and without any consideration of what the weather patterns might or might not possibly have been.
Hey,
I think I escaped the blizzard.
Well, right now it's 82 degrees in Phoenix. Going to be 82 there. And we're suffering right now with a whopping 2 degrees above zero with a wind chill factor of minus 14.
And that's what we need Fahrenheit.
To do is to build a pipeline that will allow them to pipe some of that delicious warmth to the north and the northeast.
Yeah.
There you go.
Although
you got it.
Clonakilty is in the far south of Ireland. So
it is in the south. Yeah, south or southwest.
Kind of south-central-ish, yeah.
Almost on the coast.
Looking on a map here, yeah.
All right, thanks, Jerry.
All righty. Gentlemen, have fun.
You too. Stay warm. Okay, we officially hate Jerry, is that right? Is that what I remember?
Yeah.
He was warmer than we were in Iceland, now he's warmer than we are in Ireland. This is not right.
It was like I'm watching that TV show that takes place in Yellowknife, which is pretty far north.
Yeah.
And then they talk about, we're going north today.
Yeah.
They're going up to the, north of the Arctic Circle.
Yep.
Way, onto the Arctic Ocean.
I have a friend who lives in Alaska, and she talks about going north.
Yep.
And I say, so you're visiting Santa?
Yeah.
What's north?
The Port of Valdez.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Yellowknife is only 62 degrees north. So you got a long way to go to make it to the... We're at 45 degrees.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Chuck from Penfield, New York. What's up, Chuck?
Hi, gentlemen. I have another weather issue for you.
Okay.
I have a niece that lives in Havre, Montana, which is like 50 miles south of the Canadian border.
Yep.
You were checking the Phoenix weather. Check the temperature in Havre, Montana, and what it's supposed to get to today.
Yeah, I have a friend who lives in Bar None, Wyoming, and I don't know why.
Well, you check this, though.
She's the one. Currently 51 in Montana.
And it's supposed to get up to 60 today.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Figure that one out.
And windy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I wanted to pass on. You guys have a good day.
Well, we hate you, too, now, Chuck.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, supposed to be in the mid-60s for the big game.
Yeah, Wes, anything after over the Mississippi, they're having heat waves.
Yeah.
50s, 60s, 70s.
Did you notice that last big storm we had, 1,000-mile-long storm, was the exact same path of the eclipse from 24?
Yeah.
Coincidence?
I don't think so.
No, it's only up here that we're lucky enough to get this frigid weather.
Yeah. But you know what? We've had a couple of good, honestly, seriously, we've had a couple of good years.
Oh, yeah. No,
so we're just weak.
We were due.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to the 60s and 70s, growing up as a kid.
Well, exactly.
This storm is nothing. I mean, granted, they say, oh, record snow and all that. Well, it's come, it's also melted. Quite a bit of it melted right after it came. Yeah. You know, we got it, you know, 4 or 5 inches, and then the next few days it was in the 40s, and it all melted.
Right.
No hurricanes, no major tornadoes to speak of. Yeah, earthquakes you sleep through.
Right. Our earthquakes are, we're on.
There was a 5.1 the other day in Canada.
Yep. We're on one of the more active fault lines, but what that means is we get lots of tiny little tremors. Yep.
Rather than
a big tremor, so we hardly feel them. All right, here's the Google and Apple news. I combined them this week. because, you know, they're working together now on Siri, so it's okay to put them together.
Yeah, and they just hired the AI guy from Google to help with Siri.
If you have a Pixel phone, you'll soon have some interesting new options. The latest beta shows a more granular adaptive connectivity setting. Currently, adaptive connectivity just has an on-off switch. Enabling it extends battery life and improves device performance by automatically managing your network connections. The beta has two toggles, both of which are, at least in the beta, enabled by default. Auto switch to mobile network ensures connectivity when Wi-Fi is poor or unavailable. Data charges may apply. Optimize network for battery life automatically selects the best network connection to extend your battery life. We expect the actual release of the update in March. Alphabet, Google's parent company, declined to answer one of its investors, which is not a usual thing, during questions about Google's AI deal with Apple on Wednesday's fourth quarter earnings call. Instead of responding to an analyst's question about how the tech giant is thinking about AI partnerships, such as the one with Apple to power AI for Siri, the question was completely ignored. The decision tells us something, though. Alphabet, which is Google's parent company, isn't ready to talk about how this partnership will impact its core business, which is increasingly focused on AI. After introducing AirDrop support to Pixel 10 devices last year, Google is now set to expand it to phones made by other Android partners. Google hasn't outlined any specific Android partners or devices for the update yet, but both Nothing and chipmaker Qualcomm teased in November that support was coming. Google also said it wants to improve the process for iOS users to switch to Android, helping to prevent incomplete data transfers, lost messages, and other issues. For those sticking with iPhones, the latest update, iOS 26.2.1, was released last Monday. There are increasing numbers of reports of issues. There's a problem in Apple Maps, which would lose saved places and favorites, problems with Face ID authentication in some third-party apps, and Control Center and HomeKit triggers not behaving as expected. Also, irregular storage reporting shows sudden spikes or drops. There are more severe cases of apps crashing or the phone rebooting repeatedly. And Dave's got a phone call coming. Some phones also became slow after the update. However, so far the numbers of people reporting issues is very small. A new Glasswarm malware attack through compromised OpenVSX extensions focuses on stealing passwords, crypto wallet data, and developer... not that anybody has to worry about their crypto wallets these days, and developer credentials and configurations from macOS systems. The threat actor gained access to the account of a legitimate developer and pushed malicious updates with the Glasswarm payload to 4 extensions that have been downloaded 22,000 times. According to researchers, the campaign targets macOS systems exclusively. Notably, Russian locale systems are excluded, which may hint at the origin of the attacker. But there's no mystery as to who we are. Only why we're here. So give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Okay, there we go. I just realized I hadn't plugged my battery in at all, which I usually do at the break. AI, like I said earlier, it's an AI world. We're just living in it.
Yeah.
Everybody's using AI for everything. And they're pushing it into everything. It's the latest panacea. There have been cure-alls around since the days of the quack doctors and the snake oil salesmen, and now we have AI. And there are a lot of use cases where AI is actually very useful, but not everywhere. It's a double-edged sword. And there's not enough, frankly, there's not enough understanding of what AI is really good for. And what it should be used for and what it could be used for.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, that's a real problem for the average user. When in particular, when you get AI shoved down your throat, or other orifices, you find that it gets intrusive as opposed to useful. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. It's one of the reasons that one of the things I love about Linux, I don't have any AI in it, thank you very much. And I'm delighted to not have any AI in it.
But AI can be, like we've said, you know, good and bad. But, like, say, to write a program. You can have it help you write a program, and will it be perfect? No. Nothing out of AI is going to be perfect.
Right.
You're going to have to take it for what it is. It's just gathering information that is out there in the world, and you have to sift through it to determine what is correct and what isn't. It's not going to eliminate that for you. No way, no how.
Right. The big thing, well, okay, that's true. But when you use AI to write programming, it will get you about 80% of the way there.
Yep.
If you don't know how to go the other 20%, you end up with
your host, yep.
And the other part of the problem is they're saying now that AI can replace entry-level programmers. So it would be AI and senior-level programmers. But I have a question for you. How do you become a senior-level programmer?
If you don't start at the beginning.
You start out as an entry-level programmer. And if we don't have those, where are we going to get the next generation of senior-level programmers?
Yep.
People are not thinking this through.
No. Just like the web. There's the good side of the web and the bad side of the web. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just is what it is. And can we control it all? No. Because what a lot of folks still don't understand, it's called the World Wide Web.
That's right.
And there is going to be, good things, and then there's going to be a lot of corruption. It's just the way it is. We hear, you know, daily of all these scams and all that other stuff. Where I work, you know, we got to watch out for folks coming in and asking for gift cards. You know, and
right.
Especially if they're asking for, you know, a couple $1,000 gift cards.
That's not happening.
I read a story where someone comes in with a piece. What was it? It was like the rack from a portable grill.
Mm-hmm.
And said, stop working. Give me a refund. We don't sell that here. Right. I bought it here. I swear I bought it here. The manager came over and said, well, how much did you pay for it, sir? $60. Pulled $60 out of the drawer and gave it to them. And then the clerk's drawer was short that night.
Yeah, there's a shock.
And the clerk was screaming, so I can just tell all my friends to come here and return all the crap out of their garage and get money. And he stormed away. So she quit, and she did.
Good for her.
Tell all her friends. So a couple of weeks later, apparently a senior manager from corporate called her and said, you know, we fired that guy, but could you please stop your friends from coming in? And it's getting pretty expensive.
I don't doubt that.
Just get free money. You didn't buy it here. We don't sell that. You couldn't have bought it here. I don't care. I swear I bought it here. Give me my money back.
Right. We often had that when I was working at the computer center.
Mm-hmm.
We had people bring things that either we didn't sell it because the serial number said we didn't sell it.
Yeah.
Or it was a product we simply didn't carry in the store.
Yeah.
There were many times I said, if you can find one of those in this store, I will refund your money.
Yep.
Oh, I get that all the time.
We're going to have that on Monday. people are going to try to return the giant screen TVs they just bought.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
In fact, a lot of electronics dealers won't take returns on TVs in after the game.
Right.
Well, it's the same with us when it comes to, like, say all of a sudden there's a power outage.
Yep.
And there are massive droves to come and get generators.
Yep.
And then a week later, once the crisis is over, all of a sudden they want to start bringing them back.
Right.
Ain't going to happen anymore. They just changed the policy. You got to go through the manufacturer.
You get a 98-inch TV for only $1,700.
That's not bad.
If that's not enough, there's a 129-inch for $26,000.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
Now, is that the mini LED? Or
micro LEDs.
Oh, micro. Okay,
so here's the problem with all of that. You get these 8K TVs.
Mm-hmm.
Most people can't tell the difference between 4K and 8K.
And there's very few 8K shows available.
Yeah.
Right. So if you, there aren't that many 4K. Yeah. Well, there are more than there used to be. But if you get a 4K TV going up to an 8K TV, most of you listening will never be able to see the difference.
Nope.
The human eye just can't do it. If you have 20/200 vision, yes. The rest of you, no.
Yeah.
So, you know, those 8K TVs aren't doing you any good at all.
I see a 75-inch for $600. That's what I paid for my 65-inch like a year and a half ago. Which is what I paid for my 55-inch a couple years, and which is what I paid for my 50-inch a couple years before that.
It's like a friend of mine bought a $200 calculator every year.
Mm-hmm.
The first year, since they came out. The first year he got four functions. You know, a couple of years later, he got percentage keys and this. And that. Now you can't buy a $400 calculator.
Mm-mm.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Will from Hampton, Virginia. What's up, Will?
Not too much, Nick. I was dovetailing your conversation. Gemini has proven to be an invaluable research assistant for me. Having said that, however, I do feel a sense of indignation at these individuals who are saying these irresponsible things about how AI is supposedly replacing entry-level programmers, and that's my two cents.
No, I completely agree with you. When I used to hire kids to do programming for me, I assumed they knew nothing, and we taught them everything. And many of them went on to be exceptionally good programmers. Except when I when I got to RIT, they were already, you know, had a lot of classes under their belts, but you know, they became great programmers. They didn't do that by having AI write code for them. They wrote the code themselves. They made the mistakes, they fixed the problems, they learned the algorithms, they learned the tricks, and they learned how to be good programmers. If you are using an AI assistant to do all of that part, you're never going to become a senior-level programmer because you don't know squat.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right, Will.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's all I got.
That's all we need. Thank you so much.
Bye now.
And then they always say, well, you'll learn something different. Well, it always goes back to the car analogy. The buggy makers went out of business. But if you made transport accessories,
right,
you could shift into cars really well.
Right. But the analogy breaks down when you're talking about the people who build the basics of the device.
Yeah.
Right. So when AI is doing 80% of your programming and you can't bridge that 20% remainder. Take a look at the most of the apps in every app store nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
They're all written by vibe coding, AI vibe coding, and most of them are crap. And if you call, and it used to be, we've talked about this many times, you put in a request or a bug report or whatever, and it's fixed the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Now you hear nothing.
Yeah.
They don't know how to fix that bug.
And to know how to fix the bug, you got to have to know the code to know what's wrong.
But exactly right.
If an AI wrote the code, they don't know it.
And they ask AI to fix it, and AI gives them the exact same answer all over again.
Yeah.
No, AI is not the solution for coding. Yes, it will get you 80% of the way there. So if you're already a programmer, I have a friend who's a programmer. He loves AI, and well, he should. Is it does all the scut work.
Mm-hmm.
But then he goes in and does that last 20%,
yeah,
and that works.
That's what it'll take him to get it over the finish line.
Right.
It's like anything in AI that I've said before. You got to take it for what it's worth. It's only knowing what it's been fed.
Right.
If it junk in, you're going to get junk out.
That's right. And the same thing is true of creating a program with AI. You have to be a systems analyst. You have to go in and say, this is what I want the system to do. This is how I want it to look. This is how I want the inputs. This is how I want the outputs. This is your final result. Now write some code. That's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's finished writing that code, you still have to go in and clean it up and tweak it.
Yep.
That's a lot more work. And these people who think, I'll just vibe code it, no.
Yeah. Well, that's the old joke. AIs could never take over coding because to do that, you need to have a complete and accurate specifications document. We can't get that now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. With real people.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm not...
What color do you want your fire?
Right, right.
Do you want to be able to insert it nasally?
Right. Well, and yes, I for a lot of things, AI is excellent, but not for everything. And companies like Microsoft shoving it into every nook and cranny just so that they can say to their investors, we put AI in something this week.
And then claiming that they're not making any money from it because people aren't using it.
Right. That's like if I still made buggy whips.
Yeah.
And complaining nobody's buying them.
Yep.
Well, there's a reason for that. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, or toll-free 800-790-0415. And we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Everybody get up.
A fit night out for man or beast.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites.
It's already in the very low single digits.
Yes. Yes.
So how much lower can it go?
It can go a lot lower, so yeah. Shut up.
Yeah.
Don't they'll take the
no.
Mother Nature will take that as a challenge.
I don't believe in negative numbers. I want to learn Roman numerals, not Arabic numerals.
That's right.
There are no negative numbers in Roman numerals.
We don't need that. I actually wrote some Python code once that transformed Arabic numerals into Roman numerals. I don't know why. I just
did.
I was bored. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. What's up, Mark?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Recovering from wrist surgery.
Oh, my.
And I've got some numb fingers.
I bet you do. Well, I hope everything turned out all right.
Well, I hope so. Anyways, I was calling about what you said about 8K.
Yeah.
You're partially right, but you got to realize 8K, everything in the resolution, 720, you had to sit 10 feet away from the TV. 1080, you had to sit 6 feet away from the TV. 4K, you had to sit even closer. With 8K, you got to be about 2 feet away on a 75-inch TV.
Right, right,
so
right.
You need a 200-inch TV or more to enjoy 4K. I mean, 8K.
Yeah.
Frank's 2,000-inch TV.
You just got to have a huge TV, and then you can take advantage of it.
Yeah, but yes, but again, most people on the TVs that they are able to buy won't be able to tell the difference between 4K and 8K.
Because the pixels are teeny.
Yeah.
Right. Right. You're not going to tell the difference. And
so you can sit very, very close and not see any pixels.
Now, if you are on an 8K monitor,
mm-hmm.
where you're a foot and a half or 2 feet away, that's different.
Right.
Okay, that makes more sense. But on television, no, not so much.
Yeah, like I said, it'd have to be huge.
Yep, exactly
huge.
Right.
Absolutely 200, 250 inches, and I don't think those are coming that fast.
You're right. And if they can, we can't afford them.
Yeah, and I don't think I have a wall big enough to put it on.
What is that? All right, thanks, Mark.
Thanks. Yep, you got it. Bye.
Have fun. I want to point out before I forget that there will be no Soundbites Lounge tomorrow night.
Because of the thing. Did you see
Super Bowl.
Did you see the email I sent you?
The Puppy Bowl.
The Robot Puppy Bowl.
No!
It's in your email. From the Computer History Museum.
Okay, I'll have to. Is it a YouTube video?
Facebook, for some reason.
Yeah, interesting. I'll go take a look at it. Absolutely.
Post it here.
Every year I watch the Puppy Bowl.
No, yeah, you gotta.
You gotta. And this year, apparently, they're so the idea is they get puppies out to play a fake baseball game, football game. But the basic idea is that they're really showing off these puppies to be adopted,
mm-hmm.
which is great. And every one of them gets adopted every year, which is super great. This year, apparently, they're also doing a thing with senior dogs, which I think is even better.
Oh, yeah.
Senior dogs need homes, too.
Yeah, we've got a guy that comes into our store, and he does rescue. And right now, he has two beautiful, giant, Great Danes. These dogs come in, and because we have like a little shelf that we're in this, I'm in this one area, there's a shelf. That dog can come over, rest his head on there, and he looks, because he knows I always have treats. That's
sure.
One thing all the dogs know when they come into the store. I've got, matter of fact, one. The owner, as soon as he comes in, he sees me, drops the lead, and the dog comes running right on over, sits right there by my cash register looking for me.
Yeah.
And it's got to have its treat.
I got a call from a friend of mine one time. He said, we're raiding a puppy mill. Come and get a dog.
Oh.
Well, that was a problem.
Yeah.
Because my wife, my daughter, and her friend all wanted to go. So the whole way there, I said, one dog. We are coming home with one dog. One. Only one dog. And by dint of that tremendous Herculean effort on my part, we came home with two dogs.
That's pretty good. Only two.
Because if I had said two, we'd have come home with four.
Yeah.
But I honestly, they had to hold me back. I wanted to take home every one of them. They were in the worst, most horrible conditions. It was just, it was terrible. I felt very bad. I followed up. Most of them got, in fact, all of them got homed. So that was nice. Anyway, back to the phones. Our next caller is Chuck, who I believe is calling again from Penfield, New York. What's up, Chuck?
Yes, I am. I just stumbled on something, and I think I know the answer, but I want to run it by you. Anything that I find on my machine that says kill the dollar sign, yada, yada, I can get rid of that. That's all temp stuff, right? It's left over?
Almost always it's a temp file, but two things.
Okay.
Before you delete it, make sure every one of your programs is closed.
Right, so that somebody's not using it as a temp file.
Exactly right. Because the last thing you want to do is delete a temp file that's in use.
Yeah, right, okay. All right, and it doesn't matter where it is or what directory it's in. How do they end up, software, the program itself just doesn't delete it when it closes?
Crappy programming.
Yeah. Microsoft Word?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but yes. In many cases, it's Microsoft Word.
There was a time where hundreds of them would accumulate before they fixed whatever that was.
Most of them will be in the temp directory, but not all of them. Some of them will be in...
A lot of them I see are just in the directory where you open the file.
Yeah, in the directory where you open the file.
So I've got a file that's on my desktop. I got a bunch of these desktop files that are temps laying around.
Yeah, in some cases, that's because the program crashed or you closed it inadvertently. Or we often see on a laptop, if you close the lid. It gets confused.
Okay. Well, if it's got a few sleep or hibernate.
It hibernates or whatever, yeah. And so, generally speaking, if you are absolutely certain you have closed out all the running programs,
right,
you can delete those files.
Okay, but if it's a .dot, DOC, and Microsoft Windows or Microsoft Word is closed, you can get rid of all those.
Yeah. If they're temp files, you can get rid of all of them.
Sometimes they're invisible too.
Right. Sometimes they are.
Well, I make everything visible so I know what's going on, which is how you stumble across this. Otherwise, stuff just piles up and you don't even know it.
Right. That's exactly correct. That is exactly correct.
Yeah. Okie doke. Thank you.
All right. Have fun. Yeah. Temp files are important. They're very useful.
How about your name?
But programmers sometimes are not smart about cleaning up after themselves. And so you have to be aware that when you if you're on a smaller hard drive system, you may find yourself running out of space. Check the temp directory. Check for hidden files. Dir-H will show you your hidden files. And you can see, what's what. Now,
a lot of times that's why an app is so slow to quit or the computer to shut down, because it's trying to finish cleaning all those temp files.
Right. Now, let me also say that if you see a file that you don't know what it is, don't delete it.
Move it to another directory.
Yeah, move it to another directory or just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Particularly if you've shown hidden files. Many of them are hidden for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
So be very careful of that. Let's go back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Brighton, New York. What's up, Jim?
I have not been able to get sound from the show for several months, and I don't know why.
Not able to get what from the show?
Sorry?
You said you weren't able to get something from the show. I didn't hear what you couldn't get.
I couldn't get any sound.
Oh. Is this... are you using some sort of app? How are you listening to the show?
Well, I'm trying to listen to sound through YouTube.
Okay.
And I'm listening on a Dell i7. It's a Inspiron i7.
But you can hear other things on YouTube.
Sorry?
You can hear other things on YouTube?
No. I'm not getting any sound from anywhere.
It sounds like it might be muted. There's a little speaker icon at the bottom of the window. Sometimes you have to move your cursor into the window to actually see the icon. And if there's a little X on it, that means it's muted. We've also seen sometimes if you accidentally have Do Not Disturb turned on, it mutes audio from pretty much any app. Can you hear sound from other apps, like a music playing app?
Well, I don't use those, so I don't have them.
So you got to make sure your speakers are plugged into the right jack, the output jack.
Well, if it's a laptop, then they're built in.
Okay.
It's a laptop, correct?
What do you mean?
Jim, are you on a laptop or a desktop?
Laptop.
Okay. So, yes, I think Steve is right. It sounds like your speakers are muted.
Yeah.
That can be done from a keyboard command, so it may have happened accidentally. But what you can do is in the taskbar, you're on Windows, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, if you look at the taskbar on the lower right, there should be a
speaker
icon. And you should be able to click on that and see how loud the sound is. It may be set to zero, or it may be muted entirely, and you can unmute it or raise the sound level.
And sometimes the sound level inside of the YouTube window is separate from the computer's sound level.
Right.
So you need to check the little speaker icon inside the YouTube window and make sure that that's not muted.
Well, I was just trying to do the first thing you mentioned. I'm looking on the bottom of the screen.
Down near the top, near the clock.
Up near the clock.
Oh, yours is at the top?
No, my bar is at the bottom.
Okay, near the clock should be a little speaker icon.
But it can be turned off, so it may not be there.
Let's see.
Yeah, that's the taskbar. Often there's a little clock. There's your network icon, the speaker icon. There should be several little icons between the clock and the rest of the taskbar.
And one of them should be a speaker. It might be red. It might be black.
Well, the only black thing I've got is called the settings. And that's like about the middle of my screen.
No, you want to go to the very far right where the clock is.
Okay, I'm going to the very far right. I see a clock. It says like 1:48 p.m.
Right.
Right, and what's next to the clock?
On the left of the clock.
Left of the clock, okay. Click there, huh?
There should be several icons left of the clock, and one of them should be a speaker icon.
Well, I don't think so. Let me see. I've got a sound bites, all purchases, super any spyware.
No, okay. You're way too far over. You want to be on the far right.
Far right.
On the far right is a clock. Yes?
Okay.
What's right next to the clock? Right next to it.
On the right side?
Of the clock, right next to the clock. On the left side of the, right next to the clock. What's next to the clock?
Got it. Okay. Now, what am I looking for?
You're looking for whatever is right next to the clock and telling me what that is.
Okay, I got a bunch of notifications.
Okay.
One that says, do not disturb.
There you go. If do not disturb is on, then it is probably muting all of your sound.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do I hit the clear all, or what do I do to get rid of that?
You don't want to get rid of the notification. Should be a setting to go into the do not disturb settings to turn that off.
Okay, notification settings. I can click that.
No, you want to click the do not disturb settings.
Do not disturb. Let me see if I can get back there now. Oh,
is there a key combination that will do that?
No, but you can go into settings, system notifications, and do it there as well.
Settings, I could. Okay, I can do that. Get to the settings.
Windows N may turn on and off the do not disturb.
Okay. Settings, I'm not seeing anything here.
In settings, you want to go into the system section.
What section?
Under settings.
Yeah.
You want to go into the system section.
Systems, okay, systems. How did that go? Systems. So there it is, okay. Okay, I'm in systems.
And in there, you should find notifications.
Notifications.
And I'm posting a link to it now, too. Do you know if you're in Windows 10 or Windows 11?
It's 11.
Okay.
That's up to date. All the updates are in. Okay, here's what I see under home. I see system, Bluetooth and devices, network and internet.
Okay, did you click on system?
System, okay, click that. Okay, as I look to the right now,
yeah.
I see display, sound, and notifications.
There you go. Okay. So first let's take a look at sound.
Sound, okay. Okay, speakers. Choose where to play sound. Speakers is a Dell USB audio default device, and the other one is a Realtek audio enable.
Try the Realtek.
Try the Realtek, okay. Choose where to play sound. Speakers.
And now you did a recording.
Well, it looks like it's working.
Yeah.
All right, we fixed it.
Try the Realtek.
Thanks very much, guys.
Okay. All right, thanks so much. Bye-bye, Jim. There we go.
So he must hit a test button to test that the speaker and microphones were working.
No, he unmuted it. And all of a sudden, Soundbites was playing
in the background. Yeah. how many tabs of music were playing or right. Soundbite shows? And
I'm glad we were able to help him.
Yep. I haven't seen that one since the 90s.
and that's the thing, is because there are hotkeys that enable many of these things,
mm-hmm.
we often hit them inadvertently.
Yeah.
And I've seen that far too often. All right.
So once you learn the hotkeys, it can be nice. But
right.
Hitting them accidentally is horrible.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Robin from Berkeley, California.
Hello.
What's up, Robin?
One little quickie about the guy with the sound problem. I've nailed myself a few times by inadvertently muting a tab.
Yeah, in the browser you can mute tabs separate from the computer volume, too.
Right, right, right. Well, that's what I called about, though, was about in Firefox. I'm finding when I go to clear browsing data, I've got to click to temporary cached files and pages. I want to blow those out a lot, right?
Yeah.
But it, over and over, it goes from, like, nothing to a gigabyte.
Yep.
Stops at a gigabyte, never higher. I don't know if there's a setting that determines that. Why is it going to a gigabyte so fast?
Okay, so here's what the cache does. When you go to a website, what it does is it grabs the pictures, generally, and maybe some code from that website and sticks it in the cache. So that
I sort of know that. It just seems that it's doing it a lot. It's getting up to its capacity, apparently, of a gigabyte, a lot faster and a lot more often than it used to. Is that changed or is it normal?
That's pretty normal because every website nowadays is a bucket load of pictures and a bucket load of sounds and a bucket load of little bits of code. And
is there a setting somewhere to change it from a gigabyte to two or half, or it's just a gigabyte?
Yes, and you're using which browser?
Firefox.
You should be able to change the cache size in Firefox.
About:config.
Yeah, about in the browser up where you would type soundbites.org.
Uh huh.
Type about:config.
Oh, like you're doing a search for it.
Yeah, exactly. And that will bring up a whole bunch of stuff. Please be very, very, very careful in there. But one of the choices there is browser.cache.disk.smart_size.enabled.
Uh-huh.
You disable that. That sets it to the smart size. That says, I know how big your hard drive is, and I'm going to use a small portion of that. I know how big to make my cache. And then you go into browser.cache.disk.capacity and set it to where you want it.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, I'll but you have that. To turn off the smart size enable first, because otherwise it ignores the browser.cache.disk.capacity.
It has. It just has a default setting then, right?
Right.
All right. Well, I'll look into that. Thank you.
Yeah, all right. Good luck.
Carry on.
The whole concept of cache was that if you went back to that site, you could, it would load it faster than needing to download it again over your modem.
Right.
We don't use modems anymore. I have a horrible feeling we don't need cache at all anymore.
Not so much.
Everyone's at high speed, yeah.
And you
never go back to the same page because it changed in the, in the 3 seconds you left.
Every page is new nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can also go to about:cache and see information about your cache usage and where it is and like that. Again, anybody doing this, please be very, very careful. We do not recommend that you screw around in the about config section. We do not recommend that. Do not do it. You heard it here more than once. So don't call us when you screwed something up.
Stardate February 7th.
All right.
Triggered early. That button, Dave.
Okay, just pick a button, Dave. All right, that whole Meshuggah thing there tells us that we are done for another week, one way or the other. We want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray for being stupid enough to come out in this weather and do this. And I'm an idiot as well, and I admit that fully. Want to thank everybody who called in. Good questions this week. We had a good time. Remember, there is no Soundbites Lounge tomorrow. It is the Superb Owl, and so we won't be having any sort of meeting. But we will be here next week, where hopefully it will be somewhere in a human usable temperature range. We'll be back here in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you? And stay warm, stay comfortable, stay indoors. Don't be as dumb as we are.